Nonetheless, we have a sense that the law is the law. And until the law is changed, we need to be law-abiding. Hence, there's a certain difference that we ourselves feel between what the law commands and what the law ought to command. Aristotle is mindful of this distinction, and he asks us to consider the topic of justice both from the area of the lawful as well as the area of what is fair or what is equal, what is just in that larger sense. For him, it's very much a matter of the broader sense of the word, justice as the fair or equal, and then that particular area that actually comes into legislation, justice as law, justice as what regulation and prescription by civil authority has promulgated. And in doing so, he is mindful of the fact that there will be some aspects of this smaller sphere, some laws, which strike us as unjust. And hence we find ourselves a little bit in that tug of war, a little bit of that conflict of needing to be law-abiding, even though we disagree with the content of the law as regards its justice. But he urges us to take that into consideration in dealing with the topic of justice because there is a virtue of being law-abiding. Sometimes in the history of jurisprudence, we refer to this in terms of rule of law as opposed to rule by the person. When one has a government that unites the legislative function and the executive function and the judicial function all in the same person, for instance, if we're ever in a kingdom where there is a really powerful king, we have a person who himself is the embodiment of the law. What the king says is law, and we have rule by the person. And there we must especially hope that the king has justice in his heart, because whatever the king says is true. Whereas in republics such as our own, we have a division of powers, and we have an executive branch differing from a judicial branch, differing from a legislative branch, and that division of powers is intended to assist rule by law, rule where we do not trust to the arbitrary whim of an authority or to the personal decision of one king, but rather where we have a structured approach, one that is regulated by law and one that puts every individual, including the person who holds the offices of executive or legislative or judiciary, underneath the law. And it's a sense that the law does promote a kind of virtue, a lawfulness of regular civil obedience. Even so, even in divisions of power, there is nothing that prevents that there be abuses of this power. In particular, in our own system, where we have a judiciary which is given the power to review even the appropriateness of laws, as well as to decide cases and decide appeals for these cases, there is a law to which the judge must refer, and yet here too we must depend upon justice in the heart of the judge, because justices are able, by virtue of the powers at their discretion, to override and overturn what would truly be just. Mindful of all this, Aristotle urges us to think of the kind of justice that is law-abidingness, and then the broader category of law of justice as the equitable. You will see here in the course of the history of the tradition of ethics, tremendous development in this area beginning on an Aristotelian basis. The entire scheme of ethics that is called natural law theory finds here in Aristotle's theory of natural justice its root and branch, because this strong sense that there is a justice to which we expect any law to conform, a way in which to ask the question about whether any given law is in fact just or whether the law embodies some deep injustice in it, that natural justice will flow out into a grand theory of ethics called natural law theory. The difference largely is that Aristotle is thinking of an eternal universe. Aristotle is thinking of natures such as human natures as always in existence, just as he thinks of various animals and various plants and various planetary bodies as always being what they are in a universe that had no beginning. Religious theorists who think about this question about natural justice and the source of obligation that we have in justice are frequently inclined to think in terms not of an eternal universe, but are inclined to think of a created universe, a universe which has been designed by a maker of the universe, an author of the universe who authored these natures. Hence, frequently, the religious thinkers who think in terms of a creation story will take this insight about the natural justice that Aristotle has identified and explained so well, and they will make a natural law theory out of it with a natural law giver, namely the creator of the universe, who created the natures and who put inside each of these natures a law which will help to tell what is for the good development and the fruition of that individual, and on the other hand, a law which, if violated, will lead to the destruction or the disintegration or in some way the harm of the being.